This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits, Sharia, who's making progress with meds, and Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at weightwatchers.com.
Hi, everyone. It's Maya, your host of Proud Stutter. Before we get into today's episode, I just had a quick announcement to make about an upcoming Proud Stutter event that we are putting on in partnership with the Arthur Blank Center at the University of Texas, Austin. We are putting on a stuttering and disability storytelling summit during South by Southwest. That event is free and it's going to be on March 17th from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. And we have an amazing lineup of people, people who stutter, people with disabilities, and we're going to be showcasing a film that is premiering at South by Southwest called The Way We Move. And we're going to have some superstar stuttering advocates on the event as well, including Mitch from Survivor and Philip from Deal or No Deal Island. We are so excited about it. So make sure you get your tickets today. They're free and they are going fast. So you can check that out at the link in the show notes. And yeah, I hope to see you there. All right, now on to the show. I'm Maya Chupkov, and I'm a woman who stutters. Welcome to Proud Stutter, a show about stuttering and embracing verbal diversity in an effort to change how we talk about it, one conversation at a time. Welcome back to Proud Stutter. I'm your host, Maya Chupkov. Today, we have Jennifer Dickinson on. Jennifer is a fiction writer and teacher and a woman who stutters. Jennifer, welcome to the pod.
Hello. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so excited to have you. You have such an incredible book coming out, and I'm so excited to talk to you about it. Middle school was such a big time for me because that's when my stutter was super pronounced, and that's when I really struggled a lot and felt really alone. So the fact that you wrote a story about a young woman in middle school who stutters it's incredible, and I wish I had a story like this. So just first of all, I feel so honored to have you on. And second, thank you so much for writing this. And yeah, I'd love to start off by just if you can talk a little bit about the book and what made you want to write it.
Well, I definitely wanted to write this story because I grew up in the 80s. So I was in middle school in the early 90s. And there weren't books like this. So usually if there were characters who stuttered, it was on TV or in movies and they were humiliated. So that's kind of all that I saw. And so when I was deciding what I wanted to write next, because I had written two books that I wasn't able to find an agent for or sell, I decided to write something that was about my life and something that was authentically all about me and to help kids, because I felt like if I could help one kid who was like me and didn't have anything to read or see that validated their experience, I would have done a good thing. So that was sort of the impulse to write the story to help other kids.
Can you talk about why you wrote about a middle school aged child? Is that connected with your own stuttering journey, growing up. Like, how is this book kind of connected to your own experience as a young person?
Well, one of the saddest things that ever happened to me in middle school was I was in Spanish and I was giving a report, and the boy that I had the biggest crush on, I was, stuttering during the report, and he said, "Why do you talk like that?" And it was one of the most horrible things that ever happened to me. And that is one story from a sea of stories of middle school humiliation for me. So middle school for me, my best friend dumped me in 7th grade, and I had a speech impediment that I was teased for. And I when I work with clients, because I'm a book coach, I always talk about writing from your wound. And I realized that in the previous two books I had written that I hadn't been able to sell, I hadn't really done that. And I felt like my wound really originated in middle school. I loved acting. I loved performing because I had done that in elementary school. But when I got to middle school, I was really scared to do that. So middle school for me is a charged time emotionally for that reason.
Oh man, yeah, I can definitely relate. I feel like middle school and even high school, I just really, when I look back at those times, I like my body like has a weird response, a physical
Oh, yeah.
response, just 'cause
Yeah.
yeah, it was really lonely, and I couldn't really figure out why I felt the way I felt. And I'm sure, every, young person goes through this. But yeah, like having something that a lot of people don't understand is just, it's really tough, because then it starts messing with your like self-confidence and just psychologically, and it really impacts so much of your life. And what I've found is so many people who stutter don't even realize that their stutter is their wound.
Yeah, and I want to add that it was also important to me to tell a victorious story, because I became a big part of my theater department in middle school and high school. Like, I believe that being in the theater saved me in a lot of ways. And I wanted to write a story about a little girl who is loved and supported and accepted. So, that was really important to me to represent that, because, I didn't totally have that when I was in middle school. Eventually I did when I joined the theater department and worked up the nerve, and I had a wonderful theater director named Sally who cast me in plays and was supportive of me. But initially, when I arrived at middle school and my friend dumped me, your confidence is shot when you're a kid that age, and the friend that you counted on leaves you in the dust to be popular. So those two things for me really dovetailed. It was the loss of the friendship and then feeling isolated because of my stutter. But I did want to write a story where, hopefully I want kids to have groups like Maggie has in the story, of people who come up around, they come up around her and they support her. And I want that for other kids too.
Yeah, well, I definitely think this book is going to have a big impact, and I hope it gets placed in libraries and school classrooms everywhere. So yeah, a big part of the book that resonated with me too is I always wanted to join the theater actually when I was young, but I was just always scared because I didn't want people to find out that I had a stutter. And so, but now that looking back, I mean, everything, like, I'm really happy with where I'm at now, but I can just see how much theater could have helped me because I feel like I could have tapped more into my creativity, and it could I could really see it being a confidence booster. And so, yeah, I kind of wish I took the leap, but yeah, I was in choir, but I wasn't a good singer, so that wasn't a good fit, but I just like wanted some, like I was craving something, and so, yeah. And I also was attracted to singing because, you know, when you sing, you don't stutter. And so, yeah, it, but yeah, I really see, like I actually meet a lot of people in the entertainment industry now who stutter. And I feel like there's like an energy there of like creativity and stuttering.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to see a day when in media we have people who stutter playing parts and stuttering on camera. Like people, like there's a quotation in the book where her favorite actress says, some characters stutter like some people do. You know, it's just, it's a part of culture, you know, and it's, I think, you know, one of the things that I talked about with my publisher early on was when you have an invisible disability, you have to watch. So someone looks at you and they don't know that you stutter, and then you start stuttering and their whole face changes. I don't know if you've probably experienced this. It's like all of a sudden they look at you in a different way and they start judging you. And it's, I mean, we've all as stutterers had to place an order at a restaurant and had the waiter or waitress, you know, imitate us or do something like that. And it's terrible. It still happens to me to this day. But if we had it more normalized in media, especially, I feel like that might happen less often because media is such a place where kids are tapping into things and, you know, looking for representations of themselves. So I just wonder if that is could ever happen. You know,
this is the new Weight Watchers, built for real life and real results, no matter what mode you're in. Maddie went all in for her big day and lost 33 pounds. Emily lost 85 pounds and hit her goal while still living her life.
Weight Watchers gave me the tools and I feel amazing.
Join the millions of members and lose weight with the number one doctor recommended weight loss program. Lose more at weightwatchers.com. At 6 months, participants in a clinical trial of Weight Watchers program lost an average of 12 pounds.
Yeah, I really hope it happens. And I feel like through more storytellers like us, like making, like putting our stories out there. And, you know, I'm actually working on a film around stuttering and I'm helping other filmmakers who stutter also with their films. There's actually a lot of films about stuttering in production right now. So I'm like,
cool.
Like, who knows, maybe in like a couple years, like all of them will release at once and it'll just be this like big moment. But I mean, I don't know. I'm working on a documentary, so it's a little unpredictable. But yeah, I really do feel like I'm hoping in my lifetime we can see more of that happening. Because I think, especially in entertainment, there is just such a huge platform. Like, so many people consume TV and film. And even, like, I think, like, children's content too, because the earlier you can get, you know, kids and children to understand these things at an early age, that can also make a huge impact. So so yeah, I think all these things together, hopefully we'll see that more. I'd love to kind of get more into your career as a writer, because I know you talked about being in theater. When did you start kind of gravitating towards like writing, and yeah, how has that kind of shaped your career?
Well, I have been writing. My mom got me a typewriter when I was a little girl because I had so much trouble talking. And she felt like this would be, I could kind of have freedom kind of on the page. I was doing speech therapy and things like that. But I started writing. I started typing stories all the time. So I've written like my whole life since I was probably like 7 years old. But I loved theater so much. And my parents really encouraged me. I mean, they never said to me like, well, you have a stutter and you might get teased if you do theater. They like, I liked to be in front of people. It was only when I was told that, oh, it's weird that you stutter and you want to do this, that I thought it was weird. But right out of the gate, I just thought, oh, I can do this, because my parents were huge supporters of pretty much anything I wanted to do. So I'd written my whole life, but theater was just my love. And I did it in elementary school, then I did it in high school, and then I went to college and got a degree. And but I got a minor in creative writing. And so my husband and I moved to LA in 2001, and we decided we wanted to be TV writers. But then he got a job on a TV show, and I sat in the writer's room and I didn't like it. And that's when I decided I really wanted to focus on writing fiction. And so because of when I kind of left acting behind when I got to LA, because it was like, oh, I saw also what it would take to be an actor, and it just seemed like terrible. Like, and I just didn't, I just knew in my heart I wasn't an actor. So I really started in my early 20s, mid 20s, devoting my time to pursuing a career as a writer. And I'm almost 50, so it's taken a really long time. I've done all kinds of odd jobs over the years. I've been a reality television casting director. I've been a nanny. But writing is the thing I love the most. And now I help people as a book coach and as a creative writing teacher too. You know, my husband is a television writer now, and we don't have children. So I would say that our stories are our children. We spend a lot of our time when we're having coffee in the morning, et cetera, just talking about plot and structure. And so now I'm, you know, I use those skills to help other people as a book coach and as a creative writing teacher too.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. Cause I feel like that's all I think about too, is like storytelling.
Yes.
I feel like as I'm working on my documentary film, it's like the first film I've ever worked on, I'm finding more confidence in like wanting to take that leap of also writing, because I never thought I could write. And I'm like a huge reader, and I love books. And I'm just like, how do people write? You know, like these books are so amazing. Like how, like I would never be able to do that. And then like I think of like script writing too. And but I feel like there's like a story in me, at least one. And so just really allowing myself to like, build more confidence around that. So everything you're saying is like super inspiring.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. Yeah. One of the things I really try to do, because I primarily work with women, is, you know, I try to mentor as much as I can younger women and encourage them, because I think I was so hard on myself when I was 30 years old. Like I was just doing PT, and the girl, you know, is 28 and she says she's old, and I'm like, you're 28, you know. Like I just feel like as writers and as creators, the older that we get, the wiser that we get, and the more wisdom we have to dispense through our work. So it's never too late to tell the story that you have, you know.
Yeah. And I think if I ever were to do, like, if I ever were to start writing, it would probably be like high school. It would probably, because that's where like the root of my, you know, I think my wounds come from. And so that's kind of probably where I would start.
Yeah. And what I found so restorative about writing Maggie was I got to really create a beautiful story out of a time in my life that felt so hard, you know? Like I got to take something that was, you know, just a thing that I was, okay. I got to take something that was so hard for me and turn it into something very beautiful and memorable to me. Because at the end of the day, if no one else reads this book, I wrote it and I'm proud of it, you know, and I told my story and I helped myself by writing this book. You know, I got to see this little girl go on stage and with all of her friends. And it was so empowering to write it.
Yeah. I could really see that being healing because it's kind of like, and I love how you made it like hopeful and empowering because it must feel really good to like have that version of a story coming out because it just, yeah, and it almost makes me think like, yeah, like how amazing would it be to like write something where it's like, it's not exactly what happened, but it's a version that's just a beautiful story. And it doesn't like sugarcoat it, but it's more of like, you know, here's like another version that is still the true, but it still came out of me, but it's kind of like another child or something.
Yeah, I always feel like my brain is a blender. So when I'm going to sit down and write a story, there's lots of things that really happened to me in the mix of that blender that's part of it. But then there's stuff in life. There's things conversations I've had. I'm a sponge all the time. So into that blender goes not only things that really happened to me, but conversations I've had that inspired me, a moment I witnessed in a restaurant, and all that stuff gets mixed around and comes out into a story.
And how long did you work on the like Maggie's story? I guess from like when you had the idea to when it was finished.
So this is where I don't want people to hear this and go, oh my gosh, I could never do this. Because when I tell you when I had the idea, it was a long time ago. Okay. So it was I probably had the original idea for this book in like 2016. Okay. But I didn't actually sit down and start writing it until 2019, 2020. And then it went through a lot of things and got sent out. And then I would get rejections and then I would revise it. And then I sent it to Includus at the end of, in the summer of 2022, I think I sent it to them and they really loved it, but they wanted me to do a rewrite. So I'd already rewritten it before, but then in 2022, I was rewriting it again. And then I worked with a book coach who's just wonderful. And then I sent it to them again. And then at the beginning of 2024, Includus, I sold the book to Includus. So then there were 2 years, more years, 2024 till now of revision. So it, to me, writing is revision. It just is. And you probably feel this way when you're working on a film, you're editing, you're cutting, you're doing, it's just, you have your original idea, but it starts to really like morph as you get in there and revise it. And I'm actually quite proud of it because I've stuck with this story. Like I knew it was a good one but it came from a place. I think one of the reasons why I was able to stick with it was because I at its core, and the reason I was doing it was because I wanted to help kids and I wanted kids to see themselves on the pages. And that kept me going.
Yeah. And I could definitely relate to that with this documentary I'm working on. So yeah, it's definitely something you really have to love because yeah, you like live, breathe it, you wake up thinking about it, all that stuff. So totally relate to that. Going slightly off topic, just because I'm a connoisseur of reality TV and I'm just really curious. Like, I know that was probably one of your like odd jobs to support what you really love, which is like fiction writing. But I'm just so curious, like, what it was like being a casting director for reality TV and, like, how you navigated your stutter around that and kind of what you learned about, like, reality TV. And is it something you still watch, or are you kind of turned off by it after your experience?
So I did it from 2008 to 2012, and I worked on The Real World and I worked on Project Runway. It was interesting because I would interview people for The Real World sometimes that did have stutters. Because you do these long on-camera interviews with people, to see if they would be a good fit for the show. And I would often tell them, I have a stutter too, to encourage them to open up about it. I might not tell them in the on-camera part, so it was recorded, because I didn't know how they would feel, because there is so much shame around it. But I would, you know, certainly say to them off camera, you know, I have a stutter too, especially if the interview was just about to start. We never cast anybody when I was working that had a stutter, but I do remember interviewing a few people. I loved reality casting. I traveled at the time, you know, Zoom and Skype weren't really a thing. So I traveled all over the country. I've been to Lincoln, Nebraska. I've been to Madison, Wisconsin. I've been to lots of cities in Texas. I've been, you know, I love getting to a new city, renting a car, not knowing it, the town, you know, driving around. I loved interviewing people and getting to meet people from all stripes of life. I met one of my closest friends in the world doing it. And I love Traitors. So I watch Traitors with Alan Cumming. I love it so much. I don't really watch a lot of other reality now, except for Traitors, but I know how fun it is. And you get so absorbed in the world, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember when I was younger, because I was a big Survivor watcher, and I was like, oh, I want to be on Survivor. But then I was like, I never really applied for anything. And now I'm like, I do not want to be on reality TV. It would just be a lot. But yeah, whenever there's a person who stutters on reality TV, I'm always like, yes, because like so many people watch reality TV and it can be such a great platform for people who stutter to learn about it. So
it's certainly a thing. Stuttering is not something that people understand, you know, and because we don't really still know why people stutter, it's interesting when people want to ask me questions about it, because it's not widely discussed or talked about. And I welcome that, you know, when someone says to me, you know, what was it like to have a really severe stutter as a child, or do you still stutter now? I mean, I think there should be dialogue. And I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, it's not as widely represented, is because there's not. So, you know, not enough dialogue around it.
And I'm also curious, so you said your husband's a TV writer. Do you ever talk about like stuttering and stuttering characters with him, like in his own writing? I don't know. I'm curious.
Yeah, no, that's such a good question. You know, we haven't talked about it in terms of the shows that he's written on, or the material that he's created just from himself, but we have been talking about how neat it would be to adapt Maggie into a pilot or into a feature script. Because, you know, that would be such a neat way to represent the story, you know, and have it out there. So we've talked about the possible collaboration of writing her story as a script.
Amazing. Oh my gosh, please do that. That would be incredible. Oh my gosh, that's really cool. And how cool to have like a partner that's also kind of in the same world as you. And I've been my husband works in like affordable housing, and so I'm always trying to be like, oh, there's this film that touches on housing, like let's see if we can like partner up. So yeah, always thinking of ways to like merge worlds. So Cool. Well, is there anything else you wanted to share before before we end?
I really want, so much of the work I do, I went to a women's college, which was such a good experience. And the basis for when I thought about the cast of characters that she would be with in the play, I was thinking about all the girls I went to college with and all the fun things we did. So I just want girls to really see themselves in these characters and feel empowered by their stories and feel empowered to go out into the world and do something that maybe they didn't think they could do. You know, there's a slogan in the book called Rock the Risk that her dad invented for her. And I want more kids to feel like they can rock the risk and go after their dreams.
I love that. Well, that is such a great spot to end on. And thank you so much again, Jennifer, for coming on. I really appreciate you, and I feel honored that we're your first interview around your book.
I know. This was, and you were such a great interviewer, and I loved all your sweet and thoughtful questions, and I thank you for reading the story. This was great. I loved it.
And that's it for this episode of Proud Stutter. This episode of Proud Stutter was produced and edited by me, Maya Chupkov. Our music was composed by Augusto Deniz, and our artwork by Mara Ezekiel and Noah Chupkov. If you have an idea or want to be part of a future episode, visit us at www.proudstutter.com. And if you like the show, you can leave us a review wherever you are listening to this podcast. Want to leave us a voicemail? Check out our show notes for the number to call in. More importantly, tell your friends to listen too. Until we meet again, thanks for listening. Be proud and be you.